I don't know how to play, and I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive sparked zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my
Hello and welcome to the National Institute for Gamer Review, Episode 4. I am your host, DK, joined as always by my trusty co-host, Louie.
Hey, it's good to be here. We're kind of here on a sad occasion, bit of a funeral.
Indeed.
You know, it's the end of, as we all know, Adobe Flash Player is being taken out back and shot tomorrow night. And it's the end of an era for a whole entire... I guess you can call it, you can't say it's like a console, it's a whole platform of games, kind of foundational to the internet, is basically going to be gone. And yeah, you'll be able to access it through this way and that, but one of probably the core of internet gaming for over the longest time is going away for basically forever. It's not going to be a thing kids can do anymore. They'll have to, you know it exists and find it, and it'll be very different than it was. Flash games are gone.
Yeah. So for those who maybe not, like the younger people in the audience who may not even know necessarily what we're talking about, Adobe Flash is what is Adobe Flash? It's a multimedia software platform used for production of animations, rich web applications, desktop applications, mobile apps, mobile games, and embedded web browser video players. That is from Wikipedia.
I guess in gaming terms, you can kind of call it an engine, I guess.
Kind of, yeah.
It's weird. It's definitely.
I even forgot. I'm sorry. I was like, now I'm like really going back and look at Macromedia. Remember Macromedia? Holy shit. Yeah. Anyway, yes. It's more powerful. I mean, and I guess it depends on what you mean by engine. Like, because the Unreal Engine is very popular, and Unity Engine is very popular these days. Flash was from an era when like those kind of like because it was started by Macromedia going back to 1992,
and also Flash was just like how the internet worked,
right?
If you didn't have Flash, you just
right. Yeah, well, that's what I was gonna say. Is like an engine in the 90s, an engine like ID Tech engine for Doom and Quake that we've talked about a little before, and we'll talk about more in the future. It really meant a software package that told a computer how to convert. Engine in that sense is primarily for 3D applications, 3D games, and yeah, it's how to convert like a mathematical 3D space into projected into something that you're going to represent on a 2D monitor screen. Flash was quite a bit more than that. Flash was.
Well, I think with the origins of Flash were it was made to like play video, basically.
Yes. Yeah, it's a video playing technology.
It's a video player. It's interesting. Basically, interactive video player, right? It was an interactive video player, and people figure out pretty quickly that you could make it do a lot more than just play video, and it's kind of like if. You know, Thomas Edison invented like movie theaters, and someone figured out how to make like you interact with the PowerPoint, interact with the slides, and oh, actually you can make video games, but on this thing that's not at all made for it. It's a really interesting thing in itself, and also that's basically how the internet worked for everything. It wasn't just games at a certain point,
right? Well, so again, to provide some maybe historical context here, the this goes back to the way, like essentially what you could call maybe the World Wide Web 1.0, where like you already had, the internet, quote unquote, existed. You know, first there was DARPANET, and then there was, you could call it the internet. And the internet before the World Wide Web was very difficult to navigate. Was dominated by Usenet and bulletin boards, and by university users and sort of very, very tech savvy people. This is where you may have heard the phrase the eternal September, because every September a new crop of university students would gain access to the internet for the very first time. And like they would have to learn kind of proper etiquette, because there was, you know, the internet back then was it was a lot more, it was a very interesting place. It was a lot more free in certain, in pretty much every way. You could find anything, you could write anything. There was also a certain kind of etiquette around a lot of things and sort of how you handled yourself online that people would have to learn. Then when you saw the first kind of mass internet providing platforms, primarily America Online, AOL, and CompuServe, then you got like just random people coming at all times, just in the masses. And this is what's referred to as the eternal September, because there was no, that era, that first era was gone. And that really, that coincided with the introduction of the World Wide Web, which is basically that was when speeds started going from so slow that really all you could do was send ASCII text and maybe very, very basic graphics, that, you know, images that would still take forever to load, to something of a more this is where you get the origins of like the word multimedia and things like, what was it, the MMX chip, I remember. and CD-ROM drives were becoming a big thing in the mid 90s, and so this was a time when there was a recognition that a PC or computers as a platform, the great hope was that they were going, you know, you could have video, audio, still images and text all kind of working together to create something really new and interesting and wonderful. Obviously the reality didn't quite work out that way. But one of the technical issues, one of the main technical issues there, is that video was and is and will always be, just by its very nature, extremely resource intensive. It was, videos are just require exponentially more data to have than any kind of still image. And one of the things that Adobe, or at the time Macromedia Flash, and then Adobe acquired it in 2005, did was, and this was central to its success as a gaming platform or whatever, a gaming engine or however you want to think about it, they used vector graphics in a way that was extremely computationally light, meaning that very, very low powered PCs could run them, and that they didn't take a lot of bandwidth to download. It was comparatively small file sizes.
That's one of the interesting things, is that there's no streaming at all involved in this. It's not streaming. It's just you download the game and you played it. And especially if your internet was spotty or weird, that wouldn't affect it, because you could just get, once you had the game downloaded, you had it.
And I mean, typically we're talking, even in an era when, you know, file sizes started, you know, like hard drives started massively growing in size over that time span, like, you know, the bulkiest part of the Flash game package that you would download would be any kind of sound files, which would often just, you know, even just be a few sound effects. And so the overall size, you're talking about often not even necessarily a whole megabyte, or maybe a couple megabytes at most. And that wouldn't necessarily reflect, and I mean, often it did, and there's a lot of shitty Flash games out there, or were.
Yeah.
But the quality wasn't necessarily at all determined by like how big the size was, because the rendering, essentially it's a way to like make it really excelled at making what you could call like animations or cartoons almost. It's and you could use this vector graphics engine to do that in a really space efficient way and with really nice results. And it really inspired a whole like generation of game creators and game players who interacted with it.
And it also brought video games to a lot of people that wouldn't otherwise. Like, this was also the era of consoles being very expensive. gaming PCs.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that was like a new Super Nintendo game could be like $80 in like 1994. You know, like 100 something today. Like, I mean, yeah, just imagine.
If you were like me and you, you know, especially when it was very young, we weren't super well off. But you had a computer, because, you know, everybody, because you got, you know, through this way or that way, your family had a computer, they could all run these things, and they looked like as good or better than SNES games. You know, they were very comparable and often better in some ways. Also, you made things like international, because you definitely had people who were not in first world countries playing these games. I think that was a big thing. Like, the popularity was, you know, when they went global.
Yeah, I mean, it was really one of the, like, I'm not a fan of democracy per se, but it was like democratizing in the best sense. It really leveled the playing field, and yeah, you could have like a shitty 14.4 or even lower, maybe, you know, dial-up connection, and find cool shit and play cool shit, and, you know, and some of it was, you know, again, there's a lot of shitty stuff out there. There's a lot of weird stuff. It was just sort of the Wild West. I guess we could maybe move into talking about some of the particular sites and titles. But yeah, it was a really open artistic medium, and allowed for. Yeah,
there was also no copyright of any kind. There'd be an initial kind of game, it'll be ripped off and reiterated on a million times. There were games that were just straight rips of SNES games. That's very common. Atari games, especially, you know, all these games are getting ripped off constantly. And there was also, so you see a lot of like, oh, well, what if I could, like, some games would just be pure, well, what if I put Zelda in Mario Brothers or Samus? And, like, there are some really good Flash games that are just, like, Super Mario Brothers 2, but you can play other Nintendo characters in them.
Right.
And they're really good. Like, it's kind of rich.
Yeah, for a while, I mean, this is kind of, like, almost a separate topic, but for a while, there was, I believe it was with Flash, like, whole full-blooded emulators that you could run in Flash, that you could play classic games emulated in a browser window because of this technology. I mean, again, it's an extremely robust technology. That was, I think, part of why it is being, you know, taken out behind the woodshed, is because I mean, one side of that is, you know, it's a little too powerful to let people just do whatever with. Another part of it was that it, precisely for that reason, it was kind of inherently insecure and would, you know, if you could execute malicious code on your computer, it was always a kind of security risk.
It was the Wild West in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that's when, and that kind of is where, like, so there was the initial, like, burst of insanity, right, of all these games. And then you got, like, these websites that started, like, some of them weren't even making their, most of them were making their own games, but a lot were just aggregating games that were, like, clean and of a decent quality. You know, there's all kind of websites. I think Miniclip was the big one when I was a kid. It was a British company, and they had their games that they were all, you know, they all worked well, ran well enough, and they were clean. They weren't going to infect your stuff. And it was weird because it would expose you to, like, on that particular platform, they had some really good games. I think the Commando series, which is a lot of people know about. It's like a side-scrolling World War II game. You play like an SAS cartoon guy. It's very well made. But you would also get, like, mixing with that, random, like, British government PSA games. Like, one was, like, about marijuana making you puke. This was a very, like, really slick, I don't know how the British government got Flash developers, but it was basically a side scroller where you're in, like, I guess a tube station, and you're smoking a joint, and you gotta run and, like, find a place to puke safely.
And yeah, really, I remember a lot. Yeah, I don't remember that specific one, but I do remember there. Now it's funny because I didn't even think about that at the time. But yeah, in retrospect, I remember, like, there was definitely a lot of drug themed games generally, and quite a few of them were not necessarily, like, I mean, obviously there was a you know, a lot that was, like, you know, dude, weed, LMAO. But sometimes, yeah, it was like, you know, you're having a bad trip, and you need, you know, and it could be quite dark and disturbing.
Yeah.
I may be like remembering wrong, but there's like at the edges of my brain, I can vaguely remember one that was, yeah, it's like a kind of like a, you're having a bad trip and then you have to shoot the monsters and then the monsters is like your family or something. It's just like, you know, you really go into some dark, dark places.
Yeah, there were a lot of, yeah. I would say that it's, especially the many Stickman themed games.
Yes, we discussed this a little on the pre-game thing. Yeah, like so for those who may not, I don't know. Like this is, I wonder. It's definitely, I don't think the Zoomers really would know what we're talking about, and probably it maybe just be a very specific age range. But there were these Stickman. So you draw a Stickman. Was a very popular character, particularly I think on Newgrounds was one of these aggregator sites that's very popular and also hosted somewhat edgier content as well. And yeah, these Stickman games, there were like Stickman fighting games where Stickman would fight each other. There were some of my favorites were and these were some of the most popular as well, of course, were like it was basically kind of almost like Contra, where you know, like a 2D side scrolling shooting game where Stickman is like an action hero and has to, like, you know, kill all the bad enemy Stickmen, and some of them were quite well made, actually. Yeah. And
there was a bunch of the Sniper series. Like, there was a Sniper series that was, like, very well made, and also got some weird darkness with this, like, you know, the first, because the great thing was, like, these games never went away, right? So you could look at the good Stickman and Sniper section of Addicting Games or Newgrounds or wherever, and you could, like, see how this developer, what he's doing, because a lot of them were, you could tell, like, the same guy. And the first one is, oh, you know, you play a sniper and you shoot people. But then it gets, like, more into the darkness of that, like, how the guy is, like, it's kind of like, oh, I'm a murderer, this is bad, and there's, like, a one last job type game, you know? And they really got, they got into some, like, weird territory. But they were always, that's kind of one of the cool things, like, it was just this guy's kind of hobby project that was the whole world got to play. And they were very popular. You could see the play numbers were, like, in the millions. I'm sure this guy made, like, no money off of them, you know. I don't think anybody got rich off these things. These were impossible to monetize in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, I don't even think... I think Newgrounds, I guess, sold ads or something.
Yeah, a lot of the aggregators themselves had ads, but I'm sure the developers weren't saying anything.
No, there was no way there was no way.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I want to talk kind of want to talk about, because these sites all kind of... I would say, like, after about 2014, 2013... these mobile gaming got big, and mobile gaming you could make money off of, and a lot of these websites, Kongregate, Mayclip, I think Newgrounds ended up doing it too, where they would port their games to iOS or Android in order to make money, but then you could play like a demo of it on the website instead of playing the full game, and that really kind of killed the whole medium in a lot of ways, because it was all about, you know, playing free games that were big and cool and, you know, basically a complete thing. And now you get to go, like, buy it and play it on your iPhone with touch controls. And a lot of these things just nosedived in popularity during that period. Also, mobile gaming did kind of replace that, I guess you can call it.
Yeah, that kind of fast casual, so to speak.
Yeah.
That segment was obliterated by, I mean, I guess the... it, at first, which I believe it may also have run on Flash, but the transitional phase, as I recall, was on gaming on Facebook. That's where oh my god, I never played it, but what was it, the Farmville?
Yeah, and the advent of like whales and people dumping money into these things.
Right, and so those were basically spiritually, they were definitely spiritually Flash games. I believe the early ones on using Facebook itself literally also ran on Flash. I'm not, I don't quote me on, I may be lying, but and then yeah, they like, and that was before you had, I think, even iPhones really, but then very quickly once you had the iPhone and those kind of mobile technologies, they made the migration over
a lot of those developers too realized they could make a little bit of money instead of zero money, right?
Right.
Like the worst selling iPhone app makes something, right?
Yeah, right.
Where these guys were getting, I mean, they were getting probably,
I'm sure they were. I mean, it was, they probably weren't doing it for the money, because you could tell, like, these were some of these things would take like years to come out. Like, I know Miniclip had Commando 1, which is a great game, and like 5 years, 6 years later, Commando 2 comes out. It's really good, but like, there's no way that guy was like, you know, making any money off that. So he was just, you know, doing this project in his spare time, and then the sequel comes out, and I still doesn't make any money, I'm sure, but they're, you know, it's really good, and you know, it's kind of a, you know, a tragedy that these guys couldn't make it, any, could never monetize their stuff. And did you ever play on? There, I remember this one website that was trying to monetize their stuff, and it was just too easy to get like a complete version of it, you know, like somewhere else.
Do you know? You have to be a little more specific.
It's called Arcade Town.
No, I don't know.
They had a lot of really good stuff, and like they had an interesting model where they would like make one really, really good game, and then they'd have that game go throughout all the aggregators, be on all the aggregators to play for free. Hey, if you want to play the sequel or like the expansion, you go to them and log in and pay some amount of money.
Okay, interesting.
And obviously it didn't work, because it was just too easy to.
So it's sort of like shareware, but past the point where share. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because these were shareware. This probably was like the.
No, I understand. Yeah, sure, I get what you. But I mean, like, there, you know, when shareware was like Doom, it was like you didn't really have a way to get a code to unlock the full Doom CD without paying ID money. Right, at least for a while.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Where I think this was like before DRM. Or DRM existed in these days. It was these guys didn't have access to that because it was too.
Yeah.
There were like DRM, early DRM, I think.
Early DRM was like you have an 800 page manual and they ask you for like the second letter on page 672. Like that's from like that's like the old days. You could call that DRM. I mean, that is essentially DRM, but but then they moved into like other kinds of copy protection schemes centered around physical hardware. Like, you know, do you have the CD? And then when CD burners became more common, it was, you know, they would different things on the thing.
Yeah.
And now they like run spyware on your kernel.
Yeah. It's really dark.
But, anyway, yeah, no, I'm not familiar with that site. Yeah, there were a bunch. I remember. Yeah, I like. Yeah, wow, it's been a long time. Also, yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing. Like, there were also like full RPGs and stuff on these things. Like, I remember playing like, you know, there were, so I can't remember the names of them, it was so long ago, but you know, like entire fantasy RPGs.
Yeah, people put a lot of time and effort and into their creations, and it's so sad. So do you know, is it like completely sunsetted? Like there's not even any way to
I was looking into trying to play some of these games before the, like, you know, down to the wire.
Yeah.
And this is going to be kind of a sad reflection of where Flash games kind of fell off, and Flash kind of isn't a thing anymore. My browser wouldn't, I was just a modern browser, and they're like, bro, they're like, don't turn on Flash. And like, I, you know, are you sure you want to turn on Flash, bro? It's going to destroy you. Because Flash is like a malware thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm not going to let you do that, Dave. I just want to play. Just want to play the video games I used to play when I was, you know, little. And like, nah, I'm not going to let you. And I'll
we're not doing
around.
That.
I'm sure there's a workaround, but I was getting the full, like.
Yeah.
I think in Chrome is the best offender, because there's like a switch to turn on Flash. So the Flash is off on default, which makes sense, you know, for the average user these days. If you turn it on, it'll be like Flash isn't like hard blocked everywhere. You have to like go and like whitelist places and stuff. And I was like, Yeah. Also, do I want to go back to these websites? They're probably sketchy now. You know, do I want to go give Congregate my information? Like, I'm sure they're selling it now. That's like, so I ended up not playing. I wanted to go on like a Flash Renaissance for the last day, but I decided like against it for the sake of my computer. And it really is kind of a shame that, I mean, this whole thing died, because it really was kind of a golden era and a Wild West. There's a lot of, like, you know, obviously stolen games. There's a lot of pornography.
Yeah, well, a lot of like kind of very crude, how to say, just like crudely drawn pornography, like cartoon porn, not like I don't even know how to describe it, just like because the way, okay, I guess, so it's an art, it was like, you could think, I was talking about vector graphics before. What that means essentially is that, I mean, you could freehand draw, but pretty much everything was being represented. It was like mathematical, right? It's all just like mathematical functions, which is why you can kind of arbitrarily make it bigger or smaller or do certain transforms on it, because it's all very simple vector math. So you could just like draw a circle and then draw a smaller circle around the center of that circle and do that again, and now you have boobs, right? And that's like the level of animation with a lot of this stuff.
And some did get more sophisticated, but a lot of them were like with like 3DO Zeldas, like, you know.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If you've seen those old clips of like the YouTube poops and those kind of memes of like, yeah, that's kind of the level of animation that a lot of these things were at.
Yeah. It was also interesting because like you had like the good aggregators that were like clean and, you know, child friendly. And then if you wanted to venture off, like see the bad aggregator, I don't even remember the names of them, but they were like the.
I was going to say, I think Newgrounds was kind of like, I mean, Newgrounds had some edgy stuff, but it wasn't like.
It was violence. It was like the American morality where you have violence and object.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Like some boobs, and that was about it.
Yeah. You clothed boobs. It was like, yeah, come on, line. Also, a lot of like, I don't know how it was, how they did it, but there was a lot of really good like pixel art games too. And it is vectors, but like,
right?
They managed to do like pixel games very well in that way. It was interesting because like they could, towards like the end of it, I guess like probably late the 2000s, you could play against pretty sophisticated like enemy AI, like a strategy game that could like wreck you, you know, like. I still don't know how they pulled off some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And the other thing what I was talking about was what kind of ended up killing it. It's like, if you've played like a mobile game in the last, that was like, got big, I think Flappy Bird is a great example of one that like was a mobile
Flappy
game.
Flappy Bird.
Right? Yeah. So that's a straight rip of a Flash game called like Copter or Chopper or something like that I played a little bit of. That was big at my school, actually, like late in like the mid 2000s, and you know, 10 years later, I saw like this is the biggest, you know, viral phenomenon on iOS, and it's making all this money, and I tried it out. It was just, oh, that's just the game I played 10 years ago, but they slapped like a, you know, a different, you know, filter over it or whatever, and that's a lot of mobile games like that. I've played a lot of mobile games that I was like, oh, this is just, you know, XYZ Flash game I played back in the day that somebody found, or it could even be the original developer for all I know, and they just put it on the App Store or the Android Store, it's interesting because like these guys are, it's kind of like the you know, the downside of having, you know, total democratization of this thing, that it's for everybody,
right?
And it gets ripped off forever, and it's kind of the way it is. You know, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me a lot of ways of like the early, the pre-fall of like the Atari stuff, where they had a shitload of games that were trash, a lot of shovelware, and it kind of managed to square that circle in a way that Atari never could with the aggregators. But after mobile games killed that, they stopped. Like new Flash games don't come out anymore. Like they don't exist anymore. And I think it's just been kind of subsumed by the App Store. And yeah, it's kind of a real shame because there's no more games for like poor kids that aren't like trying to suck money out of you, right? That's the thing, is these things weren't. It's like the opposite of the early arcade games that were like quarter suckers, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a reverse Pac-Man.
Yeah, and nowadays, like, you have free games on the iPhone store, but it's all the Farmville, or I guess Farmville doesn't exist anymore probably, but you know, or Candy Crush, I guess, is a, probably Candy Crush isn't the, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. It's just, you know, ways to do the same thing, suck money out of people. And I guess there are occasionally, you know, some kind of cheaper games at least that aren't necessarily free, but aren't necessarily expensive either. But yeah, the great thing about Flash was, as we keep saying, you could, you know, it was because it was all about, you know, it was like kids and younger people for the most part, you know, who love the medium of video games, who wanted to to make something of their own. And sometimes it was, often it was crude and terrible, but you know, a lot of times, and definitely there were some great results and things that just would never have gotten made otherwise. And it was, yeah, purely for the love of the craft. And I'm sure I haven't looked into this too much, but I'm 100% positive that in much the same way that like a lot of game developers from the last real flowering of interesting games of you know, maybe 5-10 years ago cut their teeth on you know, modding Half-Life and modding Quake and so on in the late 90s and early 2000s, I'm sure a lot of game developers who have been making interesting things or have made interesting things in the recent past made Flash games in the same time period.
Yeah, definitely. It's also like, it's a good way, like, if someone, I was very, you know, we're getting a lot of money, we didn't get a console till like later in the PS2 generation. It was my first console, so you know, a lot of, you know, I didn't have a console for most of my growing up, right? And it lets you become like game literate very fast, if that makes sense, because you could play a top-down shooter, a first-person shooter, a strategy game, and they were all very like, oh, you know, I'll just try this out, and maybe you liked it and it was good. But you could get like literate across, you could find all these like RPG, JRPG, a Western RPG. You could kind of learn how to play all these games, all these kinds of games very quickly. It gave you a good baseline to become like, you know, once you became much a teenager, you had a little more money, you could like, okay, now I'll get like a full, you know, $60 game, but I'll kind of know what I like already, which is very interesting, you know, which is very cool, right? Like, you know, I probably wouldn't, you know, I really like top-down shooters, but how often, like, you know, games like all the, like the roguelikes that really, that kind of came out, like, you know, people were already literate in that, mostly because of, I think, Flash games, because there were not that many top-down shooters before, like, you know, the roguelite, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure, I mean, now that you mentioned it, like, things like, stuff like, oh, was it Miami, Hotline Miami is, I'm sure, heavily inspired by this era, these types of games. So if you like Hotline Miami, you should know like where it comes from.
And also like a lot of these games were very ambitious, and you could see. There's one game that was very popular called like the Endless War series. It was a series of like realistic-ish, very-ish, like top-down shooters, and it would just be like, it would have like all the guns for every video game in it, just because they could do that very easily with these kind of graphics or simplistic. And you could see, like, you know, something came off pretty well. Like, they pulled it off pretty well, I think, in that case, that series, of very, you know, very simple games. But there was a lot of, basically, a lot of people were trying to hit home runs, and a few of them, you know, worked.
Yes. So we've talked maybe enough about background. Do you have any particular favorites you remember or want to discuss?
The hard parts of this is that, like, the Flash games that one person played, though other people might not have heard of, because they all kind of niche.
Yes.
I would say the best ones that I sunk a ton of time into were the Commando series on Miniclip, which is very good. It's just side-scrolling series. And then one game that, luckily enough for this developer, it was called Motherload. It was also on Miniclip, I think, one of a couple of places. Basically, you drill down and mine for ore or whatever, and you know, you get better, come back and you get better stuff, and it's pretty hard initially, and you get better and you get better stuff. So that game was played a ton of it as a kid, little kid, and then it came out on like the PS4 online, just like a straight port of it with a little more like story and like a boss fight at the end, but it was the same base game, and that developer probably finally made a bunch of money off of it. But I think those are probably my two big, like, highest points were Motherload and the Commando series. Obviously,
so the Commando series, like, I thought maybe I'm hallucinating. You mean like the real time tactics games where?
No.
Okay.
No, that's another problem, see, because right, all these names that were used 6 million times.
Yeah.
It's a side scrolling World War II game.
Gotcha.
Play a blue hair with a red bandana SAS guy.
Huh.
And you fight German, like side scrolling Germans, who are kind of cartoonish. And it's very hard. It's pretty hard.
So it's like Contra, another 2D, like, or Metal.
Yeah, it's very Metal Slug.
Metal Slug.
It's
yeah.
It's basically a Metal Slug. It looks better than Metal Slug, I'll say. Mm-hmm. It looks really good, especially for its time. It's basically a Metal Slug clone, but real good, and did that real well. I've played much more of that than I've played Metal Slug. I played real Metal Slug, and I said, sucks. It isn't as good as that Flash game I like. Which is always a weird kind of experience to have when you go back to play the original and it's worse than the than this better copy.
Yeah.
I would say, like, I would go back and play Commando, like, even the last 2 years, because it was just, it's like, you know, a fun, you know,
right,
2D game, and it's free, and you can always kind of.
Although this inspired, maybe, like, because we've discussed in the past, I think we should make, our guys should make more games, and I would love to be a part of that myself. It sounds like there's room in the world for a 2D side-scrolling World War II Metal Slug type shooter where you're the good guys fighting the Allies.
Yeah, I think that could be done. It could very much be done. And, I would like to play that, or, you know.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, I'm like, we could totally do that. That'd be amazing.
In the spirit of Flash games, we could just take Commando and reskin it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, cool. All right.
What else? What were your big Flash games? What were your big?
Oh, man. Okay. The two that come to mind, one was probably the first Flash game, among the first, like, because I didn't really have consoles either. I've always loved space. I've always loved like space simulators and space games, and I'm very much a kind of, you know, like aeronautics and space type. It's just, I always found that really interesting and inspiring, and the decline of that is one of the, was instrumental to my red pilling process, and anyway, that's another story, but the whole Whitey on the Moon thing really has always pissed me off. And so when we did finally get in the Super Nintendo, there were no side scrolling like space shooter type games like Ikaruga or any of those kind of things. Those were I think more on the Genesis and in the arcades, and I just always loved them from a distance. So I did a search for like a how to play free like Galaga type game. I don't even remember what I looked for. It wasn't even a search because there were no search engines per se. It was like Yahoo or something.
Yeah. Oh god, you're not a great Flash Galaga clones.
Well, right. The one I remember, and I don't even know if it was the best, it was just one that was that came up after recommendation, was called Galactic Marauders, and I still remember it because I played the shit out of it, because it was like a Galaga clone that I was able to play.
Yeah.
And I was like so overjoyed that I could finally play a Galaga clone. Yeah, Galactic Marauders. There were a million, obviously, in that genre.
With Flash, is that it was more powerful is the right word, than SNES, NES. So they could make those same games with a little bit more, like a kind of like that. It's kind of popular aesthetic. It's like that kind of 2.5D, like,
yes,
pixel game.
Yes.
It was kind of the same. It was basically the exact same thing where we actually have a little more. It's like the old games. We have a little more horsepower. We do a little more tricks.
It was better 3D than Mode 7. Like Mode 7, the like the kind of quasi 3D that Super Nintendo could do, like the for Mario Kart and the airship sequences and some Final Fantasy games. It could do sort of quasi 3D really well, or like isometric stuff. And yeah, it was very powerful. It was really robust software. Too robust. That's why it was a security risk. The other one that comes to mind, and I was just looking up, it of course had to have the same thing of like, this plugin is not supported, you know, go fuck yourself, do not. Yeah. Was
also like, please don't, if you push further,
yeah, don't, definitely don't do that. Do not do that.
Yeah.
There was some, like, I have no idea who this guy is. He calls himself Zap Dramatic. And he had, it was like, he called, it was, he sells the, it, like, some kind of, like, he represents himself as some kind of, I don't know, psychologist or life skills development guru. This was on Newgrounds. It was called, it was a series called the, Oh shit, where is it? The Altered States, and the idea, like, the idea was like you would go through, you would interact. It was like a kind of like, I don't know what he was. It was basically in retrospect, in hindsight, kind of like Manosphere 0.5 type stuff of like, here's human psychology and how you can manipulate it to like get what you want, particularly out of girls. Like there was the one that I remember called the Lusty Barfly, of like you there's like a woman at a bar and you like talking to her. And I'll just never forget, like, basically the scenario is kind of nonsensical, your dialogue options are nonsensical, her responses are even more nonsensical, and one of them, if she like doesn't like what you're saying, is she pulls out a gun and shoots you at the bar. And this is like, you know, the like, this is like a real life psychology simulator for a life skills development expert that has supposedly you know, all kinds of awards being given to him and to this series. I have no idea if or how these are still playable, but if you're interested in just like ancient internet esoterica, it's definitely worth checking out just for like the weird value. I see this, yeah. Now the page is still up on Newgrounds. People are like, as of July 20, there's a comment from July 2020, so people are still finding this one. And the Lusty Butterfly itself has almost 6.9 million views, to give you a sense of like how popular these were at one time.
They also did invent. I do want to. They
oh god, 6 million views. Sorry, go on.
Oh god. A lot of these like flash games, they invented whole genres of very niche genres, but there's a whole genre of games that are like World War One strategy games. They're side scrolling where, you know, there's a map with it's a flat line, a bunch of trenches in the middle, and you spawn in your guys and attack and retreat and call in different units and airstrikes to push across and win and, you know, and get the end. And this came out in flash games, and one game we called like Warfare 1917, and I've seen this kind of game. It's all over the App Store. It's all over, you know, the kind of arcade games on the PS4, in the Xbox store, and this whole genre that was invented in flash games, and it's still kind of kicking around. And this is actually another game I really liked. This game, and then its sequel, I actually remember the name of the developer. So Con Artists was the name of the developer. I hope they're still around. I can't find anything on them. And they eventually made like a pretty sophisticated World War II strategy game, which was, instead of being like one side-scrolling lane, it was like a three-lane. But the cool, but it, and they did it pretty well, where like you would do like damage to the enemy morale if you flanked on the. So basically, it's a pretty cool concept of game where there's three lanes. It's all in 2D, and the top lane can attack the middle lane and the top lane. The middle lane can attack all the lanes and get attacked by the lanes. The bottom lane can attack, you know, the middle lane and the bottom lane, and you would instantly win if you got across the middle lane, because that was, you know, the hardest to get through. And if you got across the top and bottom lane, you would do a bunch of damage to their like morale or their whatever their score was to end the game faster. And it was really, really cool. I played a lot of these games, and they're also notoriously not, I don't say politically incorrect, but it was in the era of like not.
Yeah, of that's a whole other yes side.
Every single flash game had a German campaign or Russian campaign or some kind of edgy. You know,
right?
You would beat the British campaign or the American campaign, and then immediately play the German campaign, which was always, you know, a lot harder and, you know, generally more fun. And you know, that was pretty. That was, you know, also it was also a good introduction to like mean history, kind of, because these games are like, you know, developed, I guess, who weren't like historians, but they had like a sense of, well, the German tanks are stronger, and they brought Russia to a lot more guys and stuff like that. You know.
Yes.
Which was always interesting. You know, as you get more into history, I may unlearn some of these things that you learned in like meme history from video games. But
like German tanks are, well, what was it? The T-34 was actually superior to the Panzer IV. Is that right?
It was like all the Russians, you know, human wave attacks and all this stuff, you know.
Right.
Yeah, things that were like, yeah, there's like a kernel of truth there, but it's not like in the media.
Right.
And, you know, so. You know, I'm trying to get to a point here, but basically, you know, it was these were games. They basically, they, I wouldn't point out just they invented some genres of games. I would definitely think top-down shooters, especially, wouldn't have survived. Not that they were the first ones, but top-down shooters, they wouldn't have survived without flash games for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I also think they probably did contribute to certain like. I think probably the series of like sniper game where you're just a scope.
Yeah, like the Sniper Elite series is definitely basically just an extended flash game. Yes.
Yeah, very much inspired by those sequences. And obviously, it's much deeper, but there,
yeah.
And like, and if you go on the App Store and search for like sniper game, you'll see so many games that are just straight clones of these mostly Stickman or whatever you're fighting back then, video games. Yeah.
Yeah, it really sucks that they're. I mean, I guess it makes sense, especially given that modern browsers. I mean, browsers haven't really supported. I think Shockwave, which was the kind of the underlying thing, or I don't know how all these things are related, but I know Shockwave has not been supported for like a while, like a year now or more, and I guess that's why you can't literally cannot even load the plugins. But now it's just completely dead forever, and that's the end. I would. You know, given all the kind of so obviously we're recording this at the end of 2020, just given everything else that happened and the way that the internet itself has migrated from, you know, kind of the Wild West of Usenet to the in some ways even more Wild West of things like, you know, Newgrounds and flash games and just everybody has a GeoCities or an Angel Fire, and people just, you know, you could just say whatever and find whatever, and even Google you know would just present results the way, you know, things the more Google acquired its market dominance. I mean, if you must implying the CIA didn't have a hand, all this kind of stuff, okay, fine, but once upon a time, like, you have to remember there, you know, in an era when the closest thing to a search engine was like, you know, Yahoo and AltaVista doing essentially
was the search engine, like the definitive search engine.
Yeah, but it wasn't even a search. It was essentially a directory. Like it literally was not searching the way that we think of searching.
Do you remember the scene in National Treasure where the bad guys reconstruct? They like get half of Nick Cage's clues, and they reconstruct it by Yahooing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah, I mean, you could find stuff, but it just wasn't efficient, and if it wasn't kind of already linked somewhere, it could almost be impossible to find. You know, Google really just like made it crawled. It developed the first real web crawler that was effective and gave you results that were relevant and useful. Now they, you know, you look at a list of American inventors and it's like George Washington Carver inventing the peanut 8 times, and you know it's just ridiculous. And
more
and,
December global holidays.
Exactly.
I know it's a meme, but I accidentally clicked the button and I got the list of December global holidays.
Was it funny?
It was really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it was depressing, but it was.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, yeah, so you know, and you know, the Google story is kind of, it's not exactly a video game thing, but anyway, my point here is I think with the sun setting, the end, the destruct, you know, of Flash, the era of the World Wide Web 1.0, the era defined by you know, the kind of open internet that where your access to content was not mediated by one of a half dozen, you know, like Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube is Google. Who else is really relevant? Like, you know, that these are the gates that determine what content is accessible. And man, I even saw, I was trying to share an UNS review link in Facebook Messenger. It's not even that Facebook won't let you share an UNS.com link on like a public Facebook page. They won't even let you send the link in your private messages to another Facebook user, which, I mean, dude. So that's where we are now, apparently. And I don't, you know, and so yeah, I guess, you know, it's safe with this with the end of this technology, with the end of this program, that's it for this era that, that we're in now. You can call it, like, we are completely, that era of the internet is completely over, and we are in some other phase of the internet, and it remains to be determined if we can unfake and ungay it, because this is fucking fake and gay.
Yeah, it's one of the things with Google is that how it also worked quickly. Like, to this day, Google has, like, it's, no one ever looks at it anymore, but, like, when you search something in Google results, it'll have, like, the amount of results and how long it took them to find them. And that was, like, a flex early on. Like, oh, yeah, we can.
Oh, yeah, we've, in like, 0.0 however many seconds, yeah. Yes.
And that flex is, like, totally irrelevant now, but no one knows what that means, but it was because they managed to crawl the web that quickly, right?
Yes.
Because I believe there were some earlier search engines that took, like, a minute or 30 seconds to do it. I remember because I don't know. This is a showing not my age, actually. I grew up in the, you know, with using Google, but when I was in school, we had a paranoid computer teacher. He was like, Google's doing, I mean, probably very prescient, like, oh yeah, Google's not a good company. They're doing all kind of weird stuff to searches.
Remember Don't Be Evil?
Yeah.
That was their corporate, but people, like, when they first, their whole thing was like, you know, Microsoft is like evil. Bill Gates is trying to, like, monopolize the computer world, man. We're like, information just wants to be free, man. And we're trying to free it.
Can't stop the signal, bro.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. Now here we are.
And now here we are, right? Google. Yeah. I was always taught, don't use Google because they're going to be evil by, like, a paranoid computer teacher. Because back in those days, to be a computer teacher, you had to be like, tech savvy in a kind of bizarre way, unless you were one of those unfortunate.
I mean, that's woke as shit. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, and this was like 05, 06.
Yeah.
Like here, use this other search engine that's like much worse, and I never did because except for, you know, in his class. But damn, that man called it.
Yeah, that's when I was looking at the, like, you know, advertisements in undisclosed location public transportation hub, and like they'd have, you know, crazy math equations and shit and trying to attract people to, like, work for them that way. I was like, I could do that. You know, like, that was, you know, yeah, what a different time.
Yeah, this episode is kind of light on content because, like I said, there was, it's kind of reflective of this flash game era that it was
ephemeral,
not a lot of depth.
Yes.
Yeah, not a lot of depth, right? It was you know, wide but not deep. And you know, and it was kind of, I think it is kind of easily erased because the audience moved on to bigger and better things, right?
Well, I guess the people who were around for it for the most part did, but the thing is still there. I mean, that's what we were getting at with mobile games, and I know you wanted to talk separately about mobile games. We could definitely do that as well, but you know, I think again that kind of fast casual space is now occupied by the mobile game industry. The key difference, or one of the most important differences, like we keep, you know, saying, but I think it bears repeating, is, you know, if you want to have a mobile game, like, you gotta be approved by the Apple Store and the Google Play Store, which means there's never going to be a sky side scrolling shooter where you're the good guys fighting the allies, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of how it's, and also just that this was I don't know, if we're going to get, you know, very pure idealistic posting, if you would argue it was kind of like the true communism era of gaming, right? Where it was all just freely exchanged, to each according to his ability, to each according to his desire to play the game.
Right.
And now it's just this kind of, it's like they're just trying to suck money out of you.
Yeah.
If you get an App Store game, there's going to be like the better version, you know, the more complete version for whatever amount of money, and, you know, very like, you know, like trying to trick kids into spending a bunch of money. I downloaded a Pac-Man game on the App Store in the last week, and like the first thing was, hey, do you want to buy this skin for $100? And I deleted the game immediately because I have principles. But I realized that wasn't for me. That was because it was some dumb kid is going to see the Wreck-It Ralph skin or whatever it was. I think it was some character from some, you know, Disney thing skin for $99, and of course the kid's gonna say yes, right? It's like,
yeah,
it was like flash games were not great for kids, probably. Like, maybe you shouldn't have been, you know, seeing all like the pornography games and all that stuff, but there was never like this direct naked exploitation that there is on mobile games that are, it just makes you feel kind of evil that you're associated with it, you know?
Yeah, I never, I mean, I've played a little of mobile games, but it's pretty much exclusively been like either like I like the what was it like the Hitman Go puzzle game was pretty good, but that was almost like that's just a different. I mean, it's, you know, stuff like that that are kind of high quality, high production value, often released by at least mid major studios.
Yeah, but I believe that was a major studio.
There are
good mobile games that are full. I was told you Genshin Impact is a full, yes. You know, is a great example of it's a real studio releasing a huge game for free for everybody, which is kind of in the spirit of this. But obviously, there are you know, microtransactions if you want to engage with those,
right?
And or there's like, you know, the mobile games. Also, the kind of the mobile games as a market is kind of a bizarre thing because you can buy like a Civ 6 or Civ for like $20, but that's like an insane price tag for a mobile game,
right?
Because like the consumer expectations are set for $1 or free, you know, like $2 max. So these like you get these like I guess high quality mobile games that are almost a different kind of thing, you know. It's you're paying a lot of money for a better product, but it's almost like a different kind of game entirely, which is interesting. And yeah, mobile gaming is a weird, and I do a lot of it just because of, you know, it's easy and you do it on the phone and you can play all of the, you know, you can play like Pac-Man for free still and stuff like that.
Yeah, all those classic arcade games, you know, there's a million free.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, it's definitely.
It's not bad, but it's just, yeah, it's kind of like a. Mobile games are kind of in a weird stagnant place outside of a few like bright spots, and it's a lot of shovelware and it's trying to make money. And it's much more offensive than Flash games, which made no money.
Right.
There was shovelware. Yeah.
No, it's just a cheap. It's a cash in. Yeah. I mean, it's literally just like dopamine hit in exchange for dollars. Like it's gross. Yeah. I don't. Anyway, we can talk about that another time.
One last thing I would have is like all kind of good mediums. Like I think we talked about the last episode had like the PS3 had, you know, like the best games towards the end that they kind of got to fully exploit those systems. Towards the end of Flash games, you saw some apps because I was a fan even if I got real consoles. I was just seeing how it was going, and you got some absolutely insane stuff. There were full multiplayer games. There was like some 4-on-4 real player co-op or competitive games. Towards the end, like these got very. I don't even know how they were doing netcode for multiplayer games, but they were pulling it off. And it was for strategy games. So it wasn't like super. You know, like it wasn't like a fighting game or anything perfect, but these things got very good towards the end. It's kind of one of those, and then immediately they all have to do mobile games and had to kind of reinvent the wheel. But towards the end, you got, you know, they really did some things on the platform that I still can't really explain that are just that looked really good and were multiplayer or some, you know, facsimile co-op multiplayer. It was really good. Also, there's a separate thing that we mentioned is there were a lot of like couch co-op games. I don't know. I think you might have been a little old for this, but if you were younger, there were a lot of games where, you know, on a keyboard, especially if you're a small little kid, one person can play WASD, one person plays the arrow controls, and you could play like two-player couch co-op games and stuff.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And that was another kind of. Once again, like kind of golden era of like games with your friends that were you didn't have any money to get into. There was no barrier entry, and they were great. A lot of them were really good, you know, or you find one that was right. Yeah, I don't know. It's not our best episode, but I think
it's good. People, I think it'll you know, people who are around for it will appreciate the reminiscing, and people who weren't will be fascinated by like, whoa.
Yeah, the challenge of trying to explain this is like everybody had their own Flash games that they like, their own like 10 or so games they really enjoyed.
Very much
and
so.
No one really matches up unless you're like it's your brother who plays the same game as you, which is kind of a shame. But the broad theory of it and concepts. Other terrible thing is I can't tell you to go play these games anymore.
Right.
Because they don't work. So I can't just say, oh, go play Commando 2 on Miniclip. It's great. Or Commando 1. Because it doesn't work. And it won't ever work. Again. Unless I figure some workaround for this. Which I won't be able to, probably.
Well,
yeah.
again, you know, I mean, I think what, you know, there's, I don't think we'll ever be able to be on the big app stores or anything, but so what, you know, like, yeah. We don't need to be, we can make our own stuff. It can be nice. And,
on that note, quick plug, Heim.defender by the, I believe it was GI in Germany or some offshoot of them, is in English now and free. If you want to go try play, I've been playing a little bit. It's a kind of a difficult side scroller. It's very interesting. I'm playing it, you know, I'm not, it's no Commando, believe me, but it's a good side scroller, and it does some interesting stuff. It's like, it has modern game style checkpoining. So it's
interesting.
Kind of easy. I think there's like a mode you can turn that off if you're like, you know, play hardcore or whatever. But it's interesting. It's got a mix of like that kind of modern game where it's, you know, a checkpoint every very quickly. So if you die, it's on the other world. But it's very kind of difficult if you're playing a difficult setting. And I'm enjoying it, and it's free, like I said. So go check that out and support that if you want to. It's been kicked off Steam, obviously. They stayed on there for like 2 years at that point. They figured it out because it was all in German. they didn't release the English version to kick it off Steam, or maybe it was like the reason they got kicked off Steam, but it was just this game with all the text in German and all the description text in German on Steam for two. You know, I think that's how they managed to get away with it, but it was, you know, good on them. You fight. It's also, you can, I don't know if the translator listens to TRS, but or maybe the developers did, but they do use, like, you'll see the phrase Globo Homo used a lot. Which is always a, you know, it's fun to, you know, see real life reference.
Yeah, I was wondering this in connection with the same topic of like, say we were to make a game and you know, I guess you can't name something Heimat Defender and have it, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends. I haven't played. I don't know how kind of, well, that's my question is like, how much subtext can you get away with? Like, obviously any kind of overt text, instant, you know, you're gone. But like, well, how much subtext,
like,
you know?
There's a lot of like Norse, if you want to do like that level thing, there's a lot of Norse games on Steam. It's one of the biggest games of this year in like the kind of I guess 4X or last year was like, it was like a Norse themed
game.
I never played it. It's on a sale, in Steam sale, but it didn't look super interesting. But you can get away with a lot, I think, as long as, but I think they were marketing it as like, you know, the alt-right game to a certain degree,
right?
Which is gonna obviously get bite you in the ass. But you know, whatever. It's not super over the top. You're fighting like NPCs, is what they call them, and like, which is also a reference to that NPC name. I think it's pretty subdued in its subtext. Obviously, like the phrase "global homo" is gonna give it away. And they give an explanation for it that's not like, doesn't gay, it's like homogenized instead of like
funny.
Homosexual, but you know what they're doing there, you know.
And did they give a reason for the ban, or was it just like
Steam has the ability to ban things at will? I don't think they give a reason, because it's one of those things like sign over your life into the platform that but also now, I mean, at this point I downloaded the game from their website, so they can do whatever they want now, you know.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Within German law, because they're a German company.
Right. Yeah. Yes, there are those considerations. Yes. All right. Well, yeah. Go check out Heimat Defender, and we will start trying to, you know, do something with. I've got a bunch of ideas for, I think, you know, cool games.
More,
I think
more true deep dives. It's kind of an emergency episode, right?
Yes.
You know, in honor of, you know, some, you know, it sucks. Flash was cool, and this shame that's gone.
Rip and pepperonis. Okay, well, with that, I will leave you all to it. Thank you, Louis, for coming on, and hope everybody's enjoyed. Stay safe, and we will catch you next time. Oh.
Dom. Girls are dumb.